Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
This morning with Dr. Sarah Gerritsen. Morena, how are you?
Morena, I'm great. Thank you very much. Tēnā pai.
It's lovely to have you in the studio this morning. You're from the School of Population Health at the University of Auckland. And we're talking a little bit about a West Auckland community that is ready to take action on unhealthy food this morning. So you've been part of this research team. What's this all about?
Yeah, about a year or two ago, we were looking at the New Zealand Health Survey data, and we saw that there was declining vegetable intake in children aged 5 to 14. We were quite concerned about that because it's been a trend now for the last 5 or 6 years that children are slowly eating less and less vegetables a day. And,
right.
And this, a sort of smaller proportion of children are meeting that recommendation. So we thought, well, what's a good way to find out what's going on here? Why is it that children are finding vegetables so hard to access or not liking them? So we decided to go out to a community and ask them about it. We went and held 3 workshops 3 weeks in a row, every Tuesday night with a community in West Auckland. There were 17 participants in that research, and they told us some really interesting things. Like, we didn't come with to the workshops with any preconceived ideas,
yeah,
and just listened to them basically and walked them through a process called group model building, mm-hmm, where they built a picture of their food system for us. And they told us that the biggest barriers for them were the high density of fast food outlets in their area, that kids were actually choosing fast food over home-cooked or fruit, mm-hmm, and veg-heavy meals because they were really influenced by the advertising of the fast food from the fast food outlets.
It's fascinating that the kids are sort of aware of that as well. They're going, yeah, I kind of know that this is what's having this effect on me. It's,
I know,
hard to fight.
Yeah. I was really surprised that, so in our group we had a few high school students, but it was mostly community members, so the high school teachers other board of trustees of the primary schools and parents in the community. But kids themselves do realise that they're being kind of duped here, but it's really hard. So they were, yeah, telling us stories like when they walk down the street, all they can smell is delicious food,
yeah,
you know, and it's quite tempting when you've,
yeah,
got a few coins in your pocket.
And you're hungry, yeah.
Exactly.
After school,
when you're
like
hungry,
that. Yeah,
yeah. And even on the way to school. So we saw a lot of kids walking into school with punnets or hot chips,
mm-hmm,
that they're being sold at that time in the morning is something I think we need to reconsider. You know, is this the best food for our kids for breakfast when they're walking into school, and is it going to set them up for the day?
So how do you sort of go about, I guess, changing those habits or changing those patterns of behaviour, I guess?
Yeah, that is your sort of $1 million question, right? How do we do it?
It kind of looks like it's a bit of a cycle, like, in looking at the key barriers, the density of fast food outlets and then people consuming it more, and then decline in skills about how to cook the food. So
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
it seems like a bit of a cycle.
Yeah, and it's not a straightforward issue, that it is quite complex. So there is a lot of things playing into this, and definitely low income and long working hours for parents are part of this. So, and poor housing, you know, meaning that housing costs are high, so people, mm-hmm, have less money to spend on food. So what they're looking for is the quick fix when they're looking for food that's going to fill them up and satisfy them, but only in the short term, and we know it's not giving them the nutrients that they need. And I think people need to remember, or they sometimes forget, that children have little tummies, and so if they're filling it up with hot chips, that means they're not eating something else. It's actually displacing the good food in their diet that they could be eating, which is going to fuel their growth and keep them learning.
It's a tricky one, because this is kind of immediately making me think of the classic Jamie Oliver thing of sort of banning turkey Twizzlers at school and all the drama that sort of happened in the UK when he sort of broke that on his TV show. It's,
yeah,
a tricky one, because you kind of, I guess, to address this problem, as you were just saying, you have to address these really like root issues. So it's going to take a lot of different facets of society and I guess the government and the council as well. How can those kind of groups work together, do you think, to kind of do that without necessarily imposing on people's lives? Because that's a really tricky line to tread.
Exactly. And, you know, we all want food options 24/7 as adults. It's quite nice to have the ability to go and buy what we want when we want. But for children, we do need to rethink this. So the communities we've seen that have been most successful are ones where the schools come together with the local food outlets and with the government and the council to really work together on this issue and tackle it from, as you say, all different sides of the issue.
We are seeing a bit of that come through with the government, with the free lunches.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you think about that as a sort of suggestion from the government doing these free lunches in schools?
Yeah, I think it's fabulous and can't come soon enough, to be honest. I've been calling for it for a while because once you get good food in schools, then kids don't need to go elsewhere. And there are some canteens in schools that are doing their best and trying really hard, but it's not the culture to like all sit down and eat together like it is in many other countries around the world. So if we can encourage that in any way, I would say that would be fabulous. And also it just takes that extra burden off the parents of, oh my goodness, get out of the house, school's starting, here's some money to send you on your way and get your food, whereas we know they're going to get good food in schools. There are schools that have breakfast programs at the moment. Sanitarium and Fonterra have partnered together to provide free food for breakfasts, but especially in more deprived areas. But it's, you know, that it's hard when it's not everyone, when it's not universal.
Yeah, totally.
There's the stigma attached to it. And
And it's also tricky when it's sponsored by companies as well. You get a lot of kind of interesting conversations happening there as well about, I guess, the ethics or the politics attached to having a specific brand sponsor something.
Totally. The children notice brands. They really do. And I mean, Fonterra are quite open in their Milk for Life. I mean, that's their brand.
It is their brand,
and that's what they're going for, you know. And we do need to be aware of that. And with the lunches, I'd love to see, you know, freshly made non-branded food for the school lunches. And there's no reason why we can't do that as communities come together and really give our kids the best food possible to set them up for their learning.
I think it's really interesting that you say it's not the culture that we have in New Zealand. I guess it's not like the Western culture that we have, but it is. It's a big part of like Māori, like tikanga Māori, is to have shared meals, to have like, you know, food together. It's a social thing. Do you think we should be looking at these more sort of indigenous ways of responding to food to be kind of getting some pointers for how we could be solving these problems?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I don't see why not. Definitely in Kura around the country, they're already, you know, coming together and doing this well, making sure that their children have enough to eat. And I say it's not part of our culture, but helping each other is part of, you know, Pākehā culture as well. And we maybe have lost it somewhere along the line around the good food, sitting down and eating, but we can get it back because we do value that, I think, eating together as a family and providing good food for kids. So
totally. Well, it sounds like fascinating research and a huge problem that needs to be tackled, but I guess this is a good place to start, is knowing what the issue is and then seeing how you might be able to...
Yeah, exactly. I think the community were crying up for more solutions here and for help. They were like, we can't do much about advertising, and actually the government can do more about advertising of fast food, especially the online digital platforms we're now seeing. Kind of more advertising there. Sponsorships not covered by the ASA code, so children can still be given free products and by companies as part of the sports team or, you know, as vouchers. So there's quite a lot more we could be doing in this space. It just takes some a call really from the community that this is not good enough, and this is what this West Auckland community have done with Healthy Families Waitakere, I should mention, who are our community partners. Yes, shout out. They have been amazing in bringing together this community to really think about this issue and move forward.
Well, thank you so much for speaking to us about it this morning, Dr. Sarah Gerritsen from the School of Population Health at the University of Auckland.
Thank you.
Have a lovely day.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn! Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.